Welcome, everybody. This is BNP Weekly episode 125, so 75 episodes to 200. It is 3rd of May 2021, and in the BNP Weekly, we always look so disappointed, Valdek and me. In the BNP Weekly, we talk about the
175 episode to 300.
Yeah, there we go. In the BNP Weekly, we talk about the latest on Microsoft 365 across the different areas and what's the latest news and what's the latest in the community. And typically, we do have a visitor in the show as well. But before we go there, Valdek, who are you? I didn't actually say who am I.
My name is Valdek Mastikas. I am cloud developer, advocate, and Microsoft for Microsoft 365. And as Vesa said, today with us, a guest.
Yes.
There we go. There we go.
Welcome, Sandy.
Hi.
From the US, MVP. Sandy Usia. Welcome, Sandy.
Usia, actually. But
Usia.
Close.
Yeah.
That's okay. It took Brett a long time to learn that, too.
Good point. But now, Sandy, who are you? What do you actually do? What's your background?
Yep, sure. So I'm Sandy Usia. I'm currently in Northern California, where I've been during the pandemic. Normally travel around, originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I am technical evangelist for Lightning Tools, which is a SharePoint ISV based in the UK, and also co-founder with Brett Lonsdale of Enlightening, which is a sister company to Lightning Tools. And we do coaching around Power Platform and other Microsoft 365 platforms. I'm a business applications MVP, so focused in Power Apps and Power Automate mainly, and co-host the Flow Pro show with Daniel Laskowitz.
A lot of things happening, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, let's actually go slightly, Sandy, on your historical thing. How did you end up being in IT? So,
Well, I started helping to write programs for my husband's TRS-80 in 1978. And that's how kind of I got interested in computers.
What is TRS-80?
Yeah, so then I majored in that at college. No, actually, I didn't. In undergrad, I majored in German and finance, but then I got my master's in computer information systems, as it was then called. And I don't know what it's called now, actually. And then I went to work I taught computer classes, programming, and so on back in the early 80s. And so that was BASIC and COBOL and what was the one that started with a P? But then went into my family's business, which was precast concrete. And then my sister and I ended up running that. And so I did all of the IT. And that's how I got into SharePoint, actually. So in 2007, we brought SharePoint in because I saw it at a conference. And I thought, oh, that would be really helpful. And so then I often say I learned everything I know about SharePoint from Twitter, because I just started following people and just learning that way, and started going to conferences and got involved in the community. So that was, however many years ago that is now, 13, 15. So anyway, that's me. I've always loved being able to do things more efficiently with technology.
And open for learning new stuff as well.
Yes, clearly, definitely.
Because moving across the decades and learning new stuff and then being open for it. So I think that's in many cases, that's a deal breaker for people to understand that whatever we know in the past might be worthless in the future, because somebody comes up with something which is completely groundbreaking. So
and exciting. I find that real super exciting.
True.
As soon as Power Automate and Power Apps came out, I started learning it and speaking on them. And so,
Now, actually, on that one, I'm just going to jump on and directly on the Power Automate and Power Apps. So you've been actually starting, like you said, you started speaking on Power Automate and Power Apps and the Power Platform immediately when you saw them. Is it actually easier to jump on a new product? Could start gaining information and keeping up to date, or jumping and try to learn about some already kind of a mature product. What's your thinking on that? How did you decide that Power Platform and the Power Apps is the thing for you? So.
That's easy. Yeah, that's just because I just thought they seemed really cool, like a really great potential of being able to empower. I don't necessarily like citizen developer, but power users or people like me who, you know, when I had brought SharePoint into my business, it was a small business, like just 12 users, and the rest of everybody was all of our plant manufacturing guys. So, but I think in a lot of cases, small businesses are the ones who need that more even than large corporations, because you've got limited resources, people and money and time. And so the more you can do to make your processes more efficient and not have to pay developers to develop an app, but it would be really useful. Like, and I just think how awesome that would have been in my business, you know, if I could have easily developed a power app that our QA guy could take out in the plant on an iPad and do stuff, you know, right there. So it's that kind of thing that got me interested in those applications to start with. But it's true that when there wasn't any community yet at that point or no documentation, I feel like it was sort of like old SharePoint in that regard, you know, where there wasn't documentation really, and everybody kind of developed their own and you had to read blog posts about it, which is how I learned SharePoint. And so it wasn't that much different to, you know, 10 years later to learn Power Platform.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Now, in SharePoint, we did have a SharePoint designer though, so... Wasn't that kind of the
that was
early...
eventually, right? That was eventually, right?
2007 to 2013. So SharePoint designer. So
Fair enough. Well, but I think in 2007 nobody really knew what to do with it, right? I mean, like it was there, but it's like, what would I do with it? Like is it an HTML editor? Not really. Is it for like what can I do with that thing?
Yeah, I learned everything from enduser sharepoint.com. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, website. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's
Mark.
That's where I learned
Mark,
a lot of stuff.
What was his name?
Mark
Miller.
Miller. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I made my kids learn it because they were helping me design things for work when they were home from college during that period. I remember one time my son was going, I hate SharePoint Designer. It keeps on crashing.
Now you know.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily the best possible tool. So, and whatever reasons, we decided not to invest on that one anymore. Mm-hmm. And because to be fair, I think the Power Platform anyway is the better chosen path for all of this, and being able to build native cloud applications directly in the cloud is actually really, really cool. So just by drawing and doing stuff.
Right.
So.
I mean, we couldn't have done all that stuff years ago without having the cloud. Yep. I mean, that's obviously the essential piece.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and also I think like we can spend our time more efficiently building apps in Power Apps than trying to like realign divs on a page in HTML and ensure that they work correctly in all browsers, devices, mobile, and so forth, right? So no.
I think we talked about this one actually a few times, but I'm going to throw it again on the discussion. So is Power Apps then the kind of, the realization of this good enough IT? I'm just throwing it out there, which is basically, what I mean with good enough IT is that basically people don't need to focus anymore on the pixel precise layouts, but people are more moving towards the direction where as long as it does its job, it's good enough. So it's good enough IT. It doesn't have to be the super possible polished high quality thingy, which I'm not saying that Power Apps wouldn't be, but again, it's a different experience than it is actually pixel precise drawing.
Could be. I mean, it could be too, kind of in relation to that, if you can at least solve the biggest problem in the quickest that you can do it, then you can go back later and fix things, although maybe that never really happens, but at least I think the simpler things can be, the better, or the less the better. I was just, I don't know if this is relevant, but I was just reading an article on the weekend where they were saying how they've done a study about how human brains tend toward solving a problem by adding things rather than taking things away, but taking things away is often the better way to do it. And so making things more simple is often the better way, really.
Well, but with that, I wonder to to what extent is that linked to our human emotion to like, we hate to lose things. So if you take things away, you're losing. Yeah. Like you're giving things away. It's like, no. Like I spent all this time and effort to gather it and you're asking me to give it away to like, no.
Could be,
which is by the way an awesome segue coming back on Sandy on your way of living, right? Can we talk about that one slightly?
Sure.
So giving away stuff and not owning a things. Can you kind of elaborate what it means for you?
Sure. Yeah, that's true. That does really tie in. So maybe that's why the article hit home with me. So I guess it's almost 6 years ago now. My husband and I sold our house and sold all of our stuff, gave away most of it. And so just started traveling. We just each carry a carry-on bag and our laptop bag. And just stay in Airbnbs and things like that. And so just not having stuff to worry about. I mean, I guess that's part of what had brought that on was I at least felt like I was at the point where we had a pretty big house. Well, in the US, we've all got kind of big houses sometimes, but
everything is so relative between where people are living.
And you know, just a house full of furniture and stuff like that. I don't feel like we were ever all that acquisitive. Like we didn't have a huge amount of junk compared to a lot of people, frankly. But still, it was stuff to always be thinking about. Like you have to clean it, you have to take care of it. You know, it's, you have to always think, you know, what's going on with your house and things like that. But not having any of that is really freeing. Not, you know, it gives your mind, my mind, more space, I guess, to think about other things rather than my stuff.
Yeah. And then you've been working remotely.
Right.
Have you been working with the Lightning tools the whole time?
Yeah. And I was before that too. So I was already working remotely.
Yep.
So Lightning Tools is based in the UK, but I was based in Pittsburgh. So my business that I had with my sister, the concrete business, we lost the business in the recession, in the 2008 recession. So in 2000, we finally went bankrupt in 2011. And but I had already been doing SharePoint. And so I decided, you know, that was what I was going to do for my career then, Sandy 2.0, so to speak. And so I just started looking around for, I was thinking freelance or something like that. But then I got hooked up with Lightning Tools and started doing tech support is what I started out at. And that really worked out well. So I've been with Lightning Tools for nine and some years now.
Cool. And one thing I wanted to ask you about. So you mentioned that you are a tech evangelist, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How did your work change over the last few years or the last 2 years that we are in pandemic and lockdown?
Well, two years?
What?
A year and a half. Well, like it feels like it. There you go.
Well, it does. Yeah, that's true.
Because like that used to mostly involve like going to conferences and things. But so what that means is social media marketing and content creation and so just marketing mainly.
Okay.
Of all types.
and
I still, I still evangelize. I feel like I evangelize the Power Platform as well, for that matter.
And do you feel you're doing more or less, or is it different, or does it feel like more strain or less?
Well, there's certainly lots of work. So I would say, probably busier than pre-pandemic. I don't know if it's necessarily to do with the pandemic, but maybe because, you know, more people are working from home. So as far as Lightning Tools goes, our tools have been in pretty high demand during this past year. So yeah, as a business, that's been really kind of picked up or not gone down, at least during the pandemic. And then we have our new business, which we started during the pandemic. and that also is, we've got a lot of work there too.
So, and that's actually a good segue then on the Lightning Tools. Well, I think we had Brett at some point in one of the shows. Okay, cool. So, yes,
yeah.
but they said that actually during the pandemic, the demand of Lightning Tools as a partner offerings have increased. Can you share where is the growth happening? So, for any other partner who would be like wondering on their opportunities,
I would say our biggest one has two maybe big largest ones have been Social Squared, which is our discussion forum. And we've had a lot of people using that in Teams, especially. So I would say mostly around Teams, because so many, that has, as you know, grown exponentially over the past year. Yep. And so people are looking for, in that case, a way to have structured discussions rather than just the ongoing chat. And so that's where Social Squared comes in. And then I would say the other thing that has taken off more than we might have thought is our permissions management tool, DeliverPoint, because I think that also has to do with people working from home and maybe organizations being surprised at what people actually have access to or don't have access to. Yeah. And they can learn about that with DeliverPoint and do something about it.
So it's kind of a governance tool to understand what's happening.
From a permissions perspective, yeah, okay. not overall governance, but okay. SharePoint, Teams, OneDrive permissions, reporting and managing.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. I think that's a kind of a common, let's say, concern for people. What is being shared to whom and where and all of that stuff. So makes perfect sense. But it's good to hear that the pandemic didn't impact on the business. Right. So.
Yeah, I think all of us in IT are pretty darn lucky, really.
True.
Yeah,
that is true. Yes. And it really didn't change the way you're working either, right?
No, not at all.
Except maybe it actually did the opposite, right? Like, you used to be on the road, now you're in the same place, right?
Right. Yeah. Except I've accumulated things now. You know, when we go back on the road, we're going to have to re-winnow because now I've got like a cupboard full of spices and you know, some more gear that I'll just have to leave with my daughter and then she'll have to move it around. Or I'll get rid of it. I don't know. Depends. Yeah, we've got a couple months to figure it out.
Like, on one hand, you're not bound anywhere, but on the other hand, you have already like a whole thing planned. So we're going to be there 2 weeks there, then we're going back. Like, whoa, like you could be anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah, but that's, but then we don't have a plan for, you know, after August, really, we don't have I haven't booked anything actually yet. We have a general plan. So that's kind of how we've been doing it, is we lay out sort of a general plan, but then we don't usually book until we need to, or, you know, so we usually book just one way tickets to someplace and then we decide later what we're going to do next after that.
In a way, it's so cool, but on the other hand, like, the uncertainty of it, like, you will be there.
It's not for everybody. Yeah, I like that, but yeah.
Let's do some articles and let's discuss the other stuff after that. That's a good segue to the articles for sure. So it is end of the month, or it was end of the month last week. So that's when we always release what's new in the Microsoft Teams and SharePoint. And Teams had a lot of new stuff available. And one thing, the polls in Teams was kind of interesting. Are we actually providing this? Apparently we are. So, but of course there's partner solutions on that one. We also had an interesting discussion before we started recording related on these devices, especially the hardcore devices that, when do we actually get to the office and when are they useful? Now, to be fair, in certain countries, people are already working from offices.
Right, so,
I mean, I'm working here in the office.
So there we go.
It's just my office.
sure. But a lot of stuff, new stuff over there. Now,
especially excited about the webinars. I just wanted to mention. The first thing was talked about the webinars. Yeah. Because we plan to use that at Lightning Tools.
Yep. I can imagine. Yeah. All of this is getting so much better. And all of the video broadcasting, overlaying on the video and everything else, there's a lot of great innovation in here. So really, really cool stuff. Mm. Now, one thing to be aware, Skype for Business retires on July 31st in 2021. So not going to deep dive on what it actually means, but it's good to be aware of that. If you are still using Skype for Business online, you probably shouldn't. Now, SharePoint Roadmap Pit Stop, April 2021. There was a nice podcast together with Nicole Woon. Nicole has been really working on the site templates, the new modern site templates, which are basically based on the SharePoint Lookbook model, but now they're getting part of them are getting adapted in the product more natively, which is kind of cool. It's actually kind of cool story related on having something externally and then it's getting adapted in the product because it's proven to be so successful. So, but of course, site templates are successful, but that's the new way of exposing them. And a lot of other new stuff in the Microsoft Teams, OneDrive, in SharePoint, Power BI integration. This one is really cool as well. So Steve from my team has been working on this one. So you can actually create from any SharePoint list a Power BI really, really easily. It's just basically open the data in Power BI and poof, it generates all of the example data. So,
and does that also work when you have more than 5K items in the list?
I haven't tested, so good question. It should, right? Because from an API perspective, there is no 5,000 item limit. So as long as you get 5,000 one at a time, so in batches, so you don't, as long as you don't get all of them, it'll be fine. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff available there as well. Now, Microsoft List has a five free virtual workshops in May 10 to May 14. So those are available in different time zones, which is great. So America, India, EMEA, LATAM, and APAC. So making sure that everybody can actually join on them. And apparently Mark is in quite a few of them. So Mark Cashman, at least in a few of them and hosting them. But good information on getting started and learning what is Microsoft List and what is the opportunities on that. Cool. Now, on the developer side of the house, SharePoint Framework 1.12.1 is now available. So that's actually released last week. Finally, we did have a private preview for this one for a few weeks, and now it's actually available. And funny enough, by an accident, kind of, we did record the latest versions of the 1.12.1 in the previous community call. So it was kind of convenient to put it in here as well. So kind of accident, not really, but kind of anyway. So now on the craft, on the developer side as well, learn how to develop apps for Microsoft Craft Toolkit. Waldeck, you've been involved in this. So this is a second step on the Microsoft Craft series for Learn.
Correct. So this is new learning path that explains to you like, how can you learn Microsoft Graph Toolkit, which is a really cool set of controls that you can use inside a web app or any kind of app that is based on web tech, right? So if you would build a desktop app in Electron, that also works.
Yep.
Right. And it's basically like allows you to really easily build an app connected to M365 and Microsoft Graph. So definitely, I would encourage you, if you're building apps connected to Microsoft 365, I would definitely encourage you to give it a try and tell us how you like it.
And I think the video is Aika explaining what this is all about and kind of getting you excited about and that opportunity. So
correct.
Now, on the Microsoft Graph Mailback, create engaging app with Microsoft Teams Activity Feed API. So really focusing on the Microsoft Teams Graph API for the Activity Feed. Basically, those notifications in the activity, the notification. To be fair, at least personally, I'm getting so many activities. And then the problem is that when it once go to the activity, there's no longer a number, which is showing how many of you haven't you read because there's like a gajillion of them always waiting. So.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, a gajillion is a lot. So it looks really funny with the gajillion as a number. So.
It says like 1G, right?
That's the official term. Well, that comes from the fact that I'm basically in Microsoft, you get tracked into like hundreds and hundreds of Microsoft Teams. And then we know this, everybody, every
it's
now and
you,
then.
Okay. It's only you.
And then people mention the whole channel, and that then generates the notification. And then, it's really hard to follow up on those. Updates to organizational theming. So this is from the Microsoft 365 blog. So there's additional capabilities for the organizational theming in Microsoft 365 Admin Center, really impacting the suite navigation, which is the one in top, and then additional settings over there. Good to see that we're investing here as well. how to set up a Tailwind CSS for SPFX project. Now we're jumping to the BMP community block in the tech community. And this is from Ari and really focusing on the Tailwind CSS together with SPFX. So getting started, what does it mean? How to get started? Well, how does it look in practice? And can you, Waldeck, explain what is a Tailwind? What's the value out of Tailwind CSS?
Tailwind CSS allows you to really easily build apps that look great. It's kind of, if you have experience from the past, like Bootstrap, it's kind of the similar thing.
Yeah. And it's really focuses on CSS level definitions, and then you don't necessarily need to change the business logic, but the UX can be changed dramatically with CSS adjustments. So,
what CSS does, yes.
Yeah. But hey, you would never. How would you know? There's just not everybody knows what is CSS. Come on.
You're right.
Power Platform MS Form Quiz with a dynamic leaderboard created using Power Automate and HTTP Trigger by Damien Bird. Building a using that low code automation tooling and combining Microsoft Forms and then Power Automate and basically collecting the data. And where are we storing the data? Either in
anywhere, CDS, you can be storing
of course,
text file.
There's multiple ways of doing that. Absolutely. Mm. But really cool setup for sure. Mm. And then how to get source code files in Power Apps Canvas apps from Louis Fries. So really storing the source code of the Canvas application and what does it actually contain, where is it, and all of that stuff. So deep dives on that. CLI for Microsoft 365 version 3.9. Waldeck, you can actually explain what this is all about.
Absolutely. So new version of CLI, primary change is adding support for upgrading SPFX projects to 1.12.1.
Yep.
We've also upgraded some dependencies that we had, like upgraded ADAL to MSAL. And we've added a few commands around adding AAD APROLs, adding planner plans, and so forth and so on. And also the recently released Viva Connections apps, creating that.
So creating all of that directly available from here, CLI. Okay, got it.
Correct. So cool. All that is available in CLI for Microsoft 365 version 3.9.
Cool. So will the next one be 3.10 or 4.0?
Yes. Okay. Yes, so we will probably go until 3.11 or 12, and then we'll go to V4. Okay. We've done that for the last 2 years, where we have like one major release a year, and that is always around September, October. A coincidence?
Makes sense. Cool. Moving on the journey, Power Virtual Agent bot setting out of office from Vesan Opponent. So really cool story as well. So really, Power Virtual Agents is the easiest way to build automation or the bots, and then basically doing the out of office commands using that. So a lot of actually screenshots, but basically then adding the out of office in here. And that's actually what I was looking for. So I'm going to be sick one day, sick for some days. Okay. Thinking advanced. Anyway, so.
It's always like every single time when you call in sick, they ask you, okay, so for how long? I don't know. I'm sick. I'm not better. I will know when I'm better.
True.
Like, stop asking me, like, when you will be better. I don't know.
Yeah, fair point.
It's every time, right?
Maybe the AI can help you with that too. I don't know.
That is
yeah.
True. I haven't had a sick day since 96, so yeah.
Do you even know what sick is means?
No, not really. No, not really, unfortunately. Or luckily.
Unfortunate.
Yes. It's in genes. Office Admin Developer Community had a March 2021 update. So basically what's happening there, the latest updates and on the sample side, on the Office Admin side of the house. So really cool. Good summary on that one as well. And who contributed, Martin Van Stam, has been actively helping David Chestnut on running this program as well. Now, if you're interested about contributing in Office Admins, this is the location. So there is a separate repo, open source samples available for that as well. Teams and adoption idea, transfer your group chat emails to Teams with Power Automate. So transfer your group chat emails to Teams with Power Automate. So basically, group chat copying that to be Teams discussion rather than having it in email. Makes perfect sense, actually. This is really cool. This is really cool. And from Damien as well. So, and there's even a video. Cool. Really cool stuff. What else? Sergey had a SPFX local check. Nice option to check your localized consistency across SharePoint framework solution. He demoed this in a community call actually last week, and it is really, really, really cool. So it basically double checks from the source code if you're missing any of the labels for other languages. It will then tell you that clearly. And if you rename something or had a typo, it's going to tell you that as well. So really, really cool stuff.
Does sound really handy. I think I'll point our developers to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Andrew Connell had a summary. Andrew Connell. Monday mornings. It's not morning. It's in SharePoint Framework 112 summary on what's the latest on that one. As we release stuff from Microsoft, then Eze always comments his opinions and his input related on the thinking. And this is actually referencing
I think his post is actually on Voitano's.
Yes, it's in Voitano's. Yeah, that is true. Where is it?
If you click on the tweet, because that's where what I did to find
where it.
That's
it is. Exactly. You are 100% correct. So basically mentioning what regressions were fixed and a few additional changes and details on the release as well. And super useful information for sure. And his opinions related on the features. So this is completely welcome as well. Absolutely. And then we had a few videos. So April Dunnan had a Power Platform Rewind April 2021. And these are really good. And the cool thing about the April video of editing is also that she's splitting everything in the announcement. So you can actually easily find what's relevant. And I think we have the structure here as well. Yes, we do. So there's a table of contents. So you can jump on the exact topic. We should probably start doing the same. In the PSS TechMites, Paolo had a new video related on managing SBO data with Microsoft Graph SDK. So he's on episode 152, so we need to actually do a few more as he's on summer vacation, so we need to catch up. We're in 125, right? Now, Sandy, you are running the show with Flow Pro together with Daniel. And is John involved or is John just sponsoring or helping?
He's no longer with Microsoft, as you know.
That's true. So
that's just one of our featured channels. It's still a featured channel because he's still got a lot of Power Automate stuff on his channel.
Yep.
But it's a mostly monthly webcast, and we usually have some guest from Microsoft, just using whatever connections we have, and then do sort of the same thing you're doing, run through the articles and community contributions having to do with Power Automate. We did not change the name of our show when the tool changed its name because that doesn't quite roll off the tongue as easily.
Exactly. And you're still creating flows, right?
Yes.
So you're not creating Power Automate.
Yep. Right. So, yep. And same with our logo. We didn't change that either because we like the one we have.
Yes, true. Good point. The logos are always hard. It's almost like don't necessarily use something like O365 or SharePoint in your Twitter account name, because what if at some point that product goes away? So
exactly, yeah. So or you probably shouldn't get tattoos of that either.
Yeah. True. Unless
I know actually folks who do have and who.
Right, I know, I do too.
On the other hand, vintage, right? It's vintage.
Yes.
That's true. I've got a vintage tattoos. Flow t-shirt. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound exactly the same thing as permanent ink on your skin, right?
Cool. Then on the recording 365, we had Azure Cloud Shell is now available in Microsoft 365. So basically, you can easily fire the Azure Cloud Shell from there. And that's actually really, really cool, because isn't CLI for M365 part of the Azure Cloud Shell as well?
It is.
And there we go. So basically, now you can fire things to be available and you can run CLI for Microsoft 365 from here.
Exactly. So you can really easily, like directly from there, if you want to automate things or if you want to get insights into something that isn't already a report in the admin center, like you can run your script directly there. Yeah.
Yep.
So, and you are already authenticated.
Yep. That's actually really, really, really cool as well. Makes it super easy to manage the tenant where you are already connected. So, And then the last piece is from Waldeck. You want to probably talk about what this is all about.
Title says it all. Like bulk create states. So imagine you and you have a bunch of tasks to create, and the last thing you want to do is get clicking in Planner, right? So how can you really easily create all of them in bulk with the caveat that you want to assign each task a start date and due date, right? So I have a recipe in a way how you can go about it in Power Automate.
Cool. Really cool. Why wouldn't you use Planner? Never mind. You said you don't want to probably click through to the planner. You want to save time. Really? Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
So what's the use case? Like, where would these tasks be coming from that you have a whole bunch of them all at once?
For example, a meeting. Like you take notes, who's doing what, and there. Mm-hmm. But you have text file or OneNote with them. Mm-hmm. And there's like, okay, how can we get that to a planner plan?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Planner plan, Microsoft Team.
Right.
Like, a plan associated with the team probably.
Exactly. Cool. That's all the articles. So what's happening this week? Anything interesting happening this week? Well, let's actually start with you. Oh, sorry. Sandy, you're more than happy to start.
Well, I don't know when this comes out, but MBAS is tomorrow. Microsoft Business Application Summit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So today, then.
Today.
And what is that actually? What can you briefly tell for those who are not up to date?
So. Yeah, sure. It's Microsoft Business Application Summit, which is virtual again this year. And so all about Power Platform. So there'll be a keynote by James Phillips, as usual, and then lots of different sessions throughout the day, all on various Power Platform topics. So like what's new, what's coming, things like that.
Yeah, really cool. Anything else on the rest of the week? What are you working on? Is it more on normal work to work?
Yes, more normal work. Traveling Wednesday, though, I've got a travel day. Three planes to get to Florida from here.
Travel, wow.
I know, it'll be my first time in a while. Cool. I have to relearn how to pack.
Yeah. Most likely there should be, the airport should not be as crowded as they used to be, so.
Right. I think they're getting more crowded here, but yeah. I'm hoping to, that should be good though. I feel fine because, I'm vaccinated and the people I'm going to visit are vaccinated, so.
Should be good.
Luckily.
What about you, Waldeck? Any plans for this week?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm working on a new sample app for Build. I'm going to show some new stuff together with Aicha. We're doing that. Other than that, we have a few outstanding PRs for CLI. So I will try to get through that ASAP. Other than that, I don't think there's anything else planned. I have tons of ideas in my mind, so need to get through that too. So
yeah, that's true. On my side, so I'm finalizing my Build session and the demos for that one. Two demos recorded already today and two to go, and then trying to squeeze. It's a massive, really difficult. Of course, shorter sessions is better because people's attention span is getting smaller and smaller. But then trying to squeeze in cool demos, like four cool demos and a presentation to 30 minutes, is just impossible. So,
cut it. Yes. Kill your darling.
Yeah. Well, there's certain things, of course, as we're investing globally on certain areas, we just need to cover certain topics and do certain demos, because then there's a massive team behind of that demo, even though the demo might be super short, but you need to show that so that those people feel appreciate it for the work that they do. So it's really, really hard to actually balance what do we actually show.
But. I bet.
And the presentation recording is tomorrow, so that should be fine. And then rest of the week, we'll see. We'll see. A lot of ideas as well. So. But cool. Thank you, Sandy.
No,
thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Good discussion. Good discussion for sure. But thanks for joining, and we'll be back with a next new BMP Weekly within a week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.